Hello, and welcome to Quick Charge. I'm Mikey G, and it's Thursday, July 20th. Tesla's stock crashed more than 8% after Elon Musk disclosed that he anticipates lower production this quarter and another recall, this time using the word more accurately. Now, despite Tesla beating financial expectations and sharing largely positive news, the drop in stock price is being attributed to Musk saying that he expects production to be slightly down this quarter compared to last. Now, the CEO didn't elaborate, but he did say that it is due to global factory upgrades. It's believed that Model 3 production lines are likely to be temporarily shut down soon in order to upgrade to the new version. It was also confirmed that Tesla is recalling 15,869 of the 2021 to 23 model year Model S and X. Now, it's perhaps a factor in the dropping stock price. This time, the recall is a physical one with some seatbelts that were not properly attached. For a long time, the word recall has been thrown around for Tesla software updates, and it reminds me of my aunt who constantly complains about migraines. After I saw someone with a real migraine, I realized that she was just full of hot air. Wait, what are we talking about? Tesla delivered a wild amount of energy storage again last quarter. However, its solar business is significantly down. The company confirmed that it deployed 66 megawatts of solar and 3,653 megawatt-hours of energy storage in the second quarter. This is down a bit from the first quarter, but still up significantly from last year, 222%. Drew Baglino, the Senior Vice President of Engineering at Tesla, said that the last assembly line at the Megafactory is coming online next year, and this will reach a full 40 gigawatt-hour annual production. Looking at solar products, deployment is down 38% year-over-year, but the company delivered roughly the same amount from quarter to quarter. Tesla cites rising interest rates as a cause for customers to postpone their projects. Tesla appears to be ready to take Bitcoin payments again. Early in 2021, Tesla invested $1.5 billion in Bitcoin, and shortly after, the automaker started accepting payments of the cryptocurrency for new cars. However, a few days later, Tesla took a step back by removing Bitcoin as a payment option. They noted that the concern was over energy needs and the production of the Bitcoin network. The Bitcoin investment didn't pay off either, with Tesla losing about $500 million after selling 75% of it last year. But seems that they haven't forgotten about it. Internet sleuths have spotted that Tesla has added code on their website to accept Bitcoin payments again. The integration appears to be through Stripe, but it's not available as an option on their website quite yet. The move could be due to a recent report that stated that now more than half of Bitcoin mining is powered by renewable energy. Automotive supplier Webasto Group, which supplies chargers for vehicle companies like Ford and many others, have introduced a NACS connector for their entire North American charging portfolio. Webasto believes that the new charging connector will enable their OEM partners to transition to NACS more quickly and seamlessly for the benefit of future EV customers. Now, with charging companies, supplier companies, and most major automakers on board, there's really only a few holdouts left before the total continent is dominated by what once was called the Tesla connector. And after North America, the world. The first dual-motor versions of Rivian's R1T electric truck are beginning to appear on their shop. Rivian's electric truck, with two motors, is now being built with in-house motors, and they're calling it a product that does everything for most customers. For its current quad-motor powertrain, Rivian is outsourcing from outside suppliers for their motors, but Rivian began production of their in-house unit called Enduro back in February, which is designed to lower costs while helping to ramp production. The EV maker is also building its own lithium iron phosphate battery packs, which together have helped Rivian reduce input costs for their electric delivery vehicle by roughly 25%. But now the new motors are entering consumer-ready trucks, as the R1T dual-motor all-wheel drive is now being sold at a price of $80,750. Chinese state-owned automaker SAIC Motor has confirmed a pending partnership with Audi pertaining to next-generation EV platforms. SAIC Motor confirmed the previous rumors about working with Audi to local Chinese media outlets earlier today, or yesterday, or whenever it is now in China. The conglomerate says that it has reached a consensus with Audi in which the two companies will work together to speed up EV deployment. Now, it's not clear yet if Audi will be using an entire platform from SAIC and rebranding, or if they will develop together a new architecture. If I had to guess, I would say that they're going the rebranding route, especially if this program is confined to the Chinese market, which I don't know if it is. After announcing that their Yokohama plant made its 40 millionth engine just last month, Nissan is now taking the facility in a new direction. According to Automotive News, the Nissan plant will begin pilot production of advanced solid-state electric vehicle batteries. Now, despite many automakers and other tech companies promising solid-state batteries for many years, none of them have hit the market. Toyota and now Nissan have either high hopes or an ace in the hole, as both companies are moving forward with the yet-untested consumer technology. Now, Nissan claims that it can deliver a battery by 2028 that can hold twice the energy of the current lithium-ion batteries. Not only that, but the company says it'll be able to charge in one-third of the time and cost $75 per kilowatt-hour, maybe even $65. Now, Nissan's plans are not without a bit of help, as the Japanese government is increasing support with $2.3 billion in subsidies going towards batteries. The governor of Tennessee has announced that Magna International will invest nearly $800 million to become the first supplier for Ford's new Blue Oval City. This will fund two new supplier facilities consisting of an 800,000-square-foot frame and battery enclosure facility and a 140,000-square-foot seating facility that will produce polyurethane foam and assemble and sequence complete just-in-time seats. Now, I'm not familiar with supplier terminology, but the term just-in-time seats sounds really neat. Now, there is a third facility which has been committed to, which would be home to a new 400,000-square-foot stamping and assembly facility for vehicle frames. Construction of all three Magna facilities is expected to commence in 2025, and that's around the same time that Ford has said that they expect Blue Oval City to begin operation. In today's community comment found on YouTube, HeadleyPepper1838 says, "Thank you for your unbiased, true news approach. It's very refreshing." Well, thank you very much, Headley Pepper. I try not to insert too much opinion into the show, but I understand that a little bit is bound to show through. If you like this content, feel free to share it with your friends and family, especially newcomers into the EV space. Tell them that if they watch or listen to Quick Charge for a week or a month, that they will be well up to date without the nonsense of politics, distant expectations masked as fact, or one-sided fanaticism. Hopefully that's what they're looking for. Someday I might condense this very idea into my own sign-off for the show, but at least for today, it gets its own community comment response. Thanks for watching Quick Charge. I'm Mikey G, and I hope you have a great day.